Are you a speech language pathologist or occupational therapist who is feeling the squeeze of high caseloads and limited support? Wondering if maybe private practice is the answer? Well, let's talk about it. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Don't just dream about having better work-life balance. Make it your reality by starting your own private practice. To register, just head on over to privatepracticetraining.com right now and sign up, and I'll see you there.
Jamie Gant is a speech-language pathologist with a private practice in Tampa, Florida. Her previous career in law enforcement led her to discover the field of speech-language pathology, and she was driven to open her own private practice by the desire to be her own boss. I've gotten to know Jamie during her time in the Start Your Private Practice program, and it has been so fun to watch her navigate this journey. Then I got to meet her in real life at the ASHA convention, and y'all, Jamie is awesome. In this episode, she talks about her unconventional path to becoming an SLP, how networking helped her find more clients, and why she recommends a five-year plan for clinicians to determine if private practice is right for them. If you also have a unique path to being an SLP or an OT, and you want to know how to integrate that into your private practice, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. All right, so before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
My name is Jamie Gant. My practice is Avec Therapy Services, and it is located in the Seminole Heights area of Tampa, Florida.
So, Jamie, I'm so excited to dive into this with you because I've known you as a student in the START program, and I've watched you, on Instagram and everything else. But before we talk about what your private practice is like now, can you take us back to the beginning of your career as an SLP and also share when did you start thinking about private practice?
Yeah, so I definitely did not have a traditional path to becoming an SLP, and it's a little chaotic, but to go all the way back, I really started working in healthcare in my teens. I really thought I was going to be a doctor someday, so that's what I went for in college, and I really quickly learned that math and science were like, not for me. Bad choice. And so I ended up switching around, and I went for criminology. And that led me into a few different types of careers in law enforcement. So I worked in a county jail. I worked in a state prison. I did a lot of medical things in both of those arenas. And then my most settled job, I was a medical malpractice investigator for the Florida Department of Health. And I really liked the job. It was great. But if anyone knows that has worked for state government, it did not pay super well. But while I was there, I had a case where a person unfortunately died in the hospital, and I got their medical record and I went to speak to everyone that had been involved in their care. And one of the people that I spoke with was the speech therapist that saw them in the hospital. And they weren't involved in this person's death in any way, but I've interviewed doctors and nurses and so many medical professionals, but this speech therapist, she was just so brilliant. And the words that she was saying, I was just mind blown. I was like, what are you even talking about? What do the speech therapists do in the hospital? I'm like, speech language pathologist, what does that mean? So I really went back to my office same day. I Googled, like, what is a speech language pathologist? And the first thing that came up in my Google search was Asha's page. I wrote it down. Who are speech language pathologists and what do they do? And one of the very first lines is, where can I find a speech language pathologist? And it says private practices. So I was like, wow, I wanted to be a doctor, but I could not hack medical school, but I would love to be my own boss someday. And so that's really where I started thinking about private practice and thinking about becoming an SLP. So they were really linked for me. And I actually messaged you, Jenna, like really soon after that. I think I hadn't even gotten into my second bachelor's program yet. And so I ended up saying, like, you know, what do I need to do to become a private practice owner? And you're like, you know, maybe like once you're finished with your CF. So I was like, okay, this is part of my 5-year plan. I'm going to go back. I'm going to get a second bachelor's and get into grad school, do a CF, and then I'm going to start a private practice. And really, that's what I did.
I love that. That is just the coolest, like meandering, but really cool way to get to the profession, right? But like, I believe that everything happens for a reason. There was probably a reason why you started, you know, with your career in law enforcement, right? But like, no one wanted that person, you know, to die, obviously, right? How interesting that you were assigned that case, right? Like probably somebody else could have been assigned that case, right? And you never would have met that SLP at the hospital.
Yeah, definitely. Because I worked there, I think 4 years, and I only ever got one SLP case. And so, you know, they're really, we are a much smaller amount of people in the terms of all the medical professionals in Florida or really any state, but there weren't a lot of SLP cases. And I knew that was a board that we covered, like the Board of Audiology and Speech Language Pathology, but I didn't really think about it. Like there are a lot of boards that I didn't know that much about. And so you're right. If it had been anyone else that had gotten that case, I probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah. So how wild is that, right? And then I also had an experience when I was in undergrad that like I didn't really know what speech was either. And I remember also like Googling it. I went to the Job Outlook handbook, though, and was like, is this like a good career? You know, whatever. But the same kind of thing is like this is kind of one of those professions that people stumble upon. But I really love, too, that not only did you stumble upon the career, but that seed about private practice was planted from the very beginning. That's really cool.
Yeah, I went through a lot of really hard stuff through grad school. My husband ended up leaving his job at the same time where I had left just working period to go to school full time. He moved a couple times when I was in grad school. We sold our house. So like private practice was always like the light at the end of the tunnel for me. Like, okay, this is a really hard 2 years. I mean, just being in grad school itself and in the middle of a pandemic at that, like it was really hard. And I was like, okay, in 2 more years, I'm going to be my own boss. In 3 more years, I'll be my own boss. I just have to get through these next steps and then I'm going to be there. And it's like those 5 years went by so slow, but also so fast. Because I can't believe that, like, I'm already here. And it was so far away 5 years ago, but it's like it was a blink of an eye now.
Yeah, it's like a 5-year plan. Like, you had a 5-year plan and you made it happen. So fill everybody in. So, you know, you went to grad school, you had, you know, a couple of these things happen that made it a little extra challenging. And then obviously the pandemic made that even more challenging. But how did you get from grad school to like your CF to your private practice?
So I guess to back up a little bit, whenever I first decided I was going to be an SLP, I was like, okay, I'm going to have my private practice and it's going to be pediatrics, social communication. That feels like it's like my jam. And then I started going to grad school and I got placed with one of our clinical supervisors specialized in aphasia. And that was like the most fun. We were just doing aphasia groups online because everything was online then. I just had so much fun and the people were just so special. I was like, this is what I want to do. Now I'm going to be an adult private practice, which I should also mention maybe at some point. that I have ADHD. So I changed my mind a lot. So kind of going through that, I had an acute care fellowship at Tampa General Hospital where I felt like I learned so much. It was really tough, but I learned so much there. And for like a really hot second, I thought maybe I want to work in a hospital and not own a private practice. And then that thought went away very quickly. So from there, I moved out of Tampa and I went to Tallahassee, which is where my husband was working at the time. So we finally got to link back up when I graduated. And I did my CF in an outpatient neuro rehab center for a hospital up there. So I got a lot of really, really unique neurological disorders. I saw some PSP. I saw some MSA. I did a lot of Parkinson's, a lot of brain injury. And that really reinforced to me that that was something that I love. And so during my CF, I unexpectedly got pregnant. And so we knew that we were going to be moving back to Tampa for family pretty soon after my CF ended. I found out I was pregnant December 1st, and my husband bought me the Start Your Private Practice program for Christmas. So a couple of weeks later, and we decided, you know, I'm going out on maternity leave. That is when I'm going to start my practice. And so we did that. We moved back to Tampa on July 1st. I have my baby a little bit early on July 21st. 2 weeks later, my husband opened his business, which we run a brewery down here. And then I officially launched AVEC in October. So like, if you're keeping count, that's basically three babies in 4 months.
That's a lot, but it's all things that like were like meant to be, right? And like the things like kind of like stacked up and whatnot. And I just love that you kept moving forward. And I love too that your husband bought you the START program for Christmas. Like, I've heard that from like a couple of people. And I just think that that's so kind and loving and supportive. Like when partners do that, right? They know what your dream is. And they're like, you know, she just had this baby. Like she's been going through a lot. I'm going to do something that's going to help her like also like move her life and her career and our lives forward. And so I love that your husband was thinking that way.
I would say both have entrepreneurial spirits. I help him a lot in his business as well. So the whole private practice thing has worked out really well for us because we have flexible schedules. So some days I'm home with the baby. Some days I'm helping him at the brewery. Some days he's watching the baby while I'm at work. So it's been honestly the best thing about being new parents that we can just kind of pivot and change our schedule whenever we need. And I honestly don't think that if I didn't have his support that I could have done it.
Totally. I love for you that you have that like so much. So you were interested in adults at the, you know, during your CF and everything. And then now that you have your practice, what kind of clients do you work with?
I definitely did the pivot. I started off thinking I'm just going to do adults. And for the first 6 months of my practice, I did just do adults. I had one client. Because, you know, I had this brand new baby. I really thought that I was going to start working pretty quickly after that. But she just was a very difficult child. She had really severe reflux. She was underweight for a while. She's very clingy. She's still very clingy, honestly. But I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to go back, but I had one of my clients from my CF that I had gotten really attached to. And whenever I told them that I was leaving, they like begged me to continue seeing them virtually. And so he was my only client for the first 6 months. So I started off, I guess, technically adult only for a while. And then, you know, in Tampa, I've noticed it's a little bit harder to find clients than it seems like maybe in other areas. We have a lot of large hospital systems here, and they all have outpatient clinics. There are a lot of private practices here. And so I did a lot of networking with neurologists. I was very surprised when many of them told me that they don't refer to speech for some reason. And so after trying for a while, I started thinking about, and really this had been in the back of my mind the whole time, that kind of pull that I had in the beginning of like, I want to work with peds too. And I almost felt conflicted because it seemed like, well, I had told everyone that I was going to be adults only and that's what I should do. And what will people think? But I've always really had this love for both social communication, but also feeding, because I myself probably should have had feeding therapy as a kid. I'm a very picky eater. And I didn't really know in the beginning that speech language pathologists did that. And so the more that I learn, because I'm still every day learning more about our profession, the more I'm like, wow, that really interests me. So in the past year, I've done a lot of feeding courses and I worked with some feeding clients when I was in grad school. And so right now I'm about 50-50 adults and peds. I see both. I love it. I think that adult clients are really stimulating mentally. Like, I think that they're the most interesting sessions, but I also really love how fun pediatric sessions are sometimes. And the kids are just like so wholesome. So I definitely felt some type of way at first, but I do not regret switching to do both. And I think I'll stay that way. Honestly, I love it.
And that's one of the cool things about private practice is that you can decide what kind of clients you want to see. And listeners and Jamie, you can change your mind, right? Like, you can change your mind either because like you discover something new, or all of a sudden you take like a Mayo course and you're like, oh my God, I love this so much. Or like gender affirming voice or whatever it is that you like kind of fall into. And I'm going to totally butcher this quote. So let me see if I can think about it for a second. But what's that quote that something along the lines of that, like, you can change your mind, right? Like, that you are under no obligation to be the same person that you were 5 minutes ago. Yes. I don't know who said it. It wasn't me, but it's a good one.
I recently learned about something. It's a psychological concept called the end of history illusion. And I had never heard of this, but it's a cognitive bias that people underestimate the amount of future change that they're going to experience. So we recognize that we've changed a lot in our past. Many of us have this bias where we think we won't change as much in the future. And I think I've been guilty of that too. Like thinking, oh, well, you know, now this is who I am and this is what I'm going to be. But I think learning as an adult that I was neurodivergent, like that I have this ADHD brain, initially, I was like, man, I'm kind of scatterbrained. Like, I'm such a focused person, but I can't keep focus. And now that I'm embracing that, I'm like, why do I have to keep focus? I like changing things. I enjoy change. I like learning about new things all the time. And when I learn about something new, I want to share that with people. So why wouldn't I want to see new types of clients? Like, I don't want to be bored and do the same thing forever. I want something new.
And you're totally right that you get to make those decisions and you can have fun with it, right? Like, I think that's the most important thing, is like to realize that you can make changes. You can decide what kind of clients you see. And there are some populations that for whatever reason in your area might be harder to obtain, right? Like, maybe you're just having a harder time finding people. We had a student who was in the START program who was in, I forget where, somewhere in the South, who also really wanted to work with adults. And she was just having a hard time filling her caseload with adult clients. So she decided to kind of shift toward peds. And now she was able to fill her entire practice with pediatrics. But now that she's like made more connections, she's hired people to see the pediatric clients. And now she is boosting that adult practice. So now she herself is back to seeing the adults, which is what she wanted to do in the first place. But she kind of had to pivot for a little while in order to get her practice going. But now she's back in her happy place with the adults. And like, again, I just love when people give themselves permission to make those changes, to make things work, whatever that means for you.
Yes, I love that. And that's exactly what I'm hoping to do. Like, I enjoy seeing most diagnoses. I don't really see voice very much because there's a really great voice clinic in my area. And it's not my favorite, so I try to refer out. But everyone else, I'm like, see you for a while. But maybe, you know, in my 1 year plan, I'm hoping that I can hire next year and maybe see if there's somebody that loves all peds or loves seeing certain things that I don't, that I can start shifting more to my favorite things, and then they can see some of their favorite things.
Because in that scenario, everyone wins, right? You win, the employee or the contractor wins. The client wins, the community wins, basically everybody.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode. So where are you finding clients, or where are they finding you?
So now, I did try the whole networking to the doctor thing. Didn't really pan out in my area with either pediatricians or adult doctors like neurologists and things like that. So the main way that I have been finding people now has been networking. So I'm friends with a lot of other healthcare providers in the area. I'm very close friends with another speech therapist here, another physical therapist. I work inpatient rehab. I do PRN at a local hospital here every now and then. And so sometimes they will send people my way. So networking has been hands down my biggest thing. And also a lot of people in like mom Facebook groups. I wouldn't consider myself crunchy, if you know the term crunchy. I'm more of like a scrunchy mom. And so there's like a crunchy Tampa moms group, and I get people in there all the time that are asking feeding questions. And I'll say, well, this is what has worked for me as an adult trying to figure out my own feeding. But also in my feeding therapy, this is what I work on. And then people will just reach out to me because I think it's a more organic way of kind of like approaching that with people rather than just, hey, here's my business. So those have been like really the two top ways that people have kind of reached out to me, just getting my name out there in front of people.
Yes. And I love that because there's such power in that. And also people love to recommend other people, not to compare you to a restaurant, right? But if you have like a really good restaurant, right, you just want other people to know about it. And so other professionals, you know, colleagues, former colleagues, whatever, they know you, they know the quality of your work, they know who your favorite client is. So if they're stumbling upon somebody who's looking for those type of services, they're going to be so excited to refer to you because they know how great you are, right? And then mom's Facebook groups, parent Facebook groups are great too, because like it's people who are looking for services, like actively looking for services. But if you're like helpful in those groups, right, and you share a little bit about yourself or how you help people, that kind of thing, it is organic and it is kind, and you're leading with value versus like leading with your business, which tends to make at least some SLPs feel uncomfortable to do it that way. And in some of these groups, like are really unfriendly toward like promoting your business. So it's a way to promote your business, but in kind of more subtle way.
Yeah, I agree. Because it does kind of feel icky sometimes to just like post an ad for yourself somewhere. But I mean, half the time I try to respond to people without even mentioning myself. But if they just keep asking questions, or a lot of times people will be looking for speech therapists that have a certain insurance that they take. And a lot of the private practices in this area don't take insurance, but I take a few. So I'll always say like, well, what insurance is it? I might be able to help you find someone, or if you're in network with one that I take, like this is where my location is. So I've had a few people reach out that way as well, but it definitely feels better when you've sort of made a connection with them instead of just kind of like throwing a business card in the comments.
Totally. So you mentioned taking insurance. When you first got started with your practice, did you start off with insurance? Do you start off with private pay? How did you kind of decide what payer sources to accept?
So I did start off with Medicare only, because my one client that I had in the beginning was Medicare. And I promised them that I would see them. So I was like, I'm going to figure this out. And it took me forever to figure it out, but I did do it. And so that was all I had for really about the first maybe 8 months, and then private pay. And as I was kind of starting to network to some of these doctors' offices here, every pediatrician that I went to, the very first and maybe only question that they would ask me was, well, do you take Medicaid? And I was like, well, no, but I am in the process. Like, I had already applied for my Medicaid number just to like start the process. And they all were basically like, if you don't take Medicaid, we're not referring anyone to you because all of our clients are Medicaid. I kind of live in like the center of Tampa and it's a lot more low income. I was like, I think that's probably something that will work for my practice. But it took roughly 6 months for me to go through the whole process of getting credentialed with them. So I just got approved for Medicaid about maybe a month and a half ago and reached back out to all those pediatricians like, hi, I'm back and I have Medicaid now. So that has definitely helped. Taking insurance for me, I know there are a lot of practices here that don't take insurance and I think they're doing well. But for me, when I was only offering private pay, I wasn't getting clients. And so I had to do insurance and it has been a little bit of a learning curve. Like it's not my favorite thing, but it's been a big game changer for my practice.
I love that. And again, you kind of sometimes have to just pivot to where like the clients are or where the referrals are, where the money is, you know, like, you know, you can kind of go into this thinking that you want to do things, you know, a certain way and, you know, maybe that'll work out. But I think that you do have to be open to making some changes, right? So I'm really proud of you for saying, you know what, like maybe this isn't exactly what I wanted to do, but it seems to be what the market is in this area. It seems to be what the, you know, referral sources are telling me. So, you know, here I go, I'm willing to learn. And that's something too that, Jamie, I really like about a lot of things that you've said is just this willingness to learn, right? You know, you learned Medicare. Now you're going to learn Medicaid. Like, you're figuring it out because you want to be better and you want to be better for your clients. And I think that's one of the things that's really cool about private practitioners is that, you know, 9 times out of 10, they do really care about their clients and they're willing to do whatever it takes to figure stuff out in order to make this thing work for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. It's been, like I said, challenging, but I think it is how I can make the most impact. And even so, like, with taking insurance, something that you just said, like triggered this thought for me. Like I've had the opportunity, my one client that I had in the beginning, I won't say he's my favorite client, but like he's my favorite client. He's my most long-term client, I guess. And they gave me permission to speak about them and kind of share their story. But he had a stroke 2 years ago. I started seeing him when I worked at the hospital up there. And so he has pretty severe Broca's aphasia. And knowing that, you know, I have been seeing him for so long, I see people in the Facebook groups that are always really concerned about, well, how long can I see someone that has Medicare? Or, you know, how long can I see somebody with whatever insurance? And, you know, I've been proving medical necessity for 2 years now. And when was it? 2 weeks ago, they invited me up to Tallahassee because he got an award from the college that he used to work at. And they wanted me to come and stand on stage with them. And like, I've been able to work that into our sessions for, you know, the past 6 months, getting him ready to go say a statement on stage at his, you know, award ceremony with all his old colleagues when he hasn't been seen anywhere. Like, he hasn't had any social events in 2 years. And for me, I'm like, you know, I got to make that decision for how I was going to move forward with my practice. And, you know, having the insurances and having all these different things, they've allowed me to be able to make that big difference in so many people's lives. Like, he's just one example. And so I think that if you're scared of learning the insurance and all of the kind of behind the scenes stuff, like, I would agree it is scary, but you still have all these rewarding moments that you get out of it. So I think it's worth it to figure out the hard stuff to get to the stuff you love.
Yes. Oh my God. What an incredible story, right? Like, because of, you know, his super hard work, because I also am an adult person who aphasia is my favorite too. you know, he has worked so hard, his wife has worked hard, you've worked hard. Like, what a moment, and how cool that you've been able to, you know, be a part of that, having done like so much to help him get to that point. That's awesome, Jamie.
It was honestly like one of the most rewarding things since I've become an SLP. Like, that was top five for me.
I love that so much. And I think, you know, listeners, I know that you've had moments like that too. I know that you've had clients who, you know, have maybe been able to stand on stage or communicate using their AAC device or, you know, eat regular food. I don't know, whatever, right? But like these major milestones that you've been a part of, like how cool when you're able to do this, not through an employer, but through your very own private practice. It just hits different when you are the one who's been like kind of making this thing happen, and when you're fully directing the care and you're making all of the clinical decisions and no one is holding you back from being able to see a client for a certain amount of time or a certain, you know, type of therapy. Like, it really is extremely rewarding, and that's what I want for more people. So Jamie, you're doing awesome things. I am so, so proud of you. And I wanted to ask one more question before we, you know, start to kind of wrap up, which is, what advice would you give to other people who have maybe been thinking about private practice, but have been on the fence and are not really sure if they should or shouldn't go this way?
I will say that I don't think it's for everyone. And I think that if you can kind of, like we've been talking about, learn that art of the pivot and, you know, accept that you're going to have to change some things about yourself and your family and, you know, your career. Those things are all going to happen. And I mean, they could happen even if you don't choose private practice. But I think my advice is to kind of sit down and think about your own 5-year plan and say, where do I want to be 5 years from now? Do I want to be in the same job that I'm in, which maybe you like your job, but maybe you don't like your job? Do I see myself 5 years from now in that same position? Or do I see myself maybe, you know, going through some stress of learning a new path, but maybe being happier? You know, I only work 3 days a week now. I get 2 days a week to be a mom at home. I get to help my husband in his business. If I had not made the choice to go the private practice route, I wouldn't be able to do that. My daughter would be in daycare. I would probably be more stressed out in a different way than I am now. Working, you know, for a hospital or working for someone else. And I think that learning, you know, that pivot is something that really pushed me in a different direction in life. And I haven't regretted one day through all of the hard stuff that I've had to go through. I'll never regret it.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm just so proud of you, right? And again, to think that this whole thing started because you were assigned a case. A series of events happened that got you to where you are now. And so I'm just excited to see what happens next. What do you hope happens next? Like, what are your goals for the next like 6 to 12 months or more?
Like I said before, my brain's kind of all over the place. So I have so many plans for the next year. I definitely have a little bit of space to finish filling out my schedule to be my version of full-time, the 3 days a week. But I've got FLASHA, our state organization, they're doing a leadership development program that I'm a part of this year. And my big project is on sports concussion management and like the SLP role in that care. And so I'm kind of figuring out how I'm going to go about starting to do presentations on that as part of my final project. So that's one thing. I'm taking my time because it's like a big shift, but I'm dipping my toes into the contracting realm also. A little nervous, but it's like on the plans for next year. And I'm really hoping that I can hire someone, whether that be a VA, because I would really like for somebody else to be making some of these insurance phone calls. But also, I love mentoring. I got to do some mentoring when I was an investigator. So I would love to be able to take on some students or even hire a CF just to kind of share what I've learned and keep the profession pushing forward.
I love that so much. I mean, the sky's the limit, right? Like, you've got some amazing goals. And like, I have no doubt that you're just going to kind of check off those things one by one and just keep moving forward. If people who have been listening to this interview are like inspired and would love to learn more, where can they find you online?
So I have two different Instagrams. My practice has an Instagram. It's Avec, A-V-E-C, therapy. And on Instagram, at Avec Therapy, I guess. And then my speech Instagram is at Speech with Jamie. And just to clarify, Jamie has two I's. So it's J-A-I-M-I-E. It's never been spelled right in my entire life. So hopefully you find me.
I love it. Thank you so much for being on, Jamie. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for inspiring our listeners. And thank you for starting a private practice so that you can serve your clients and also serve yourself and your family.
Thanks for having me. And thank you so much for starting the program, because I don't think I would have been here without it.
You're so welcome. Keep going, girl. Okay, don't you just love Jamie? I love how she discovered her passion for being an SLP and private practice through a career in criminal justice. I was not expecting that, and I bet you weren't either. Either way, Jamie is a perfect example of someone who found flexibility and independence through owning her own private practice. If you would like to learn more about our programs and how we can work with you to start or grow your private practice, please visit independentclinician.com. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.